Okay, everybody, welcome back once again to Tech Gumbo. I'm Haggai Davis II, along with Haggai Davis III, and we'd like to welcome you into our show. We're here to talk about the past, present, and future of all things technology in a topical, interesting, and digestible way without a whole lot of geek speak or acronyms. We just want to talk about tech that's important to you.
And we want to get started by thanking Cardinal Capital. If you are a business owner or a CEO, hopefully you have a good relationship with your bank. But if you're facing some challenges, such as a need to consolidate debt, you're in growth mode, you want to buy new equipment, or level out your cash flow, whatever your need or challenge, give Cardinal Capital a call, because they have over 4,000 lenders where they source commercial capital for business clients. Chris, Gary, and Rob at Cardinal Capital have a passion for business, and they want your business to succeed. When you meet with Cardinal Capital, they get to know you and your business so they can present your needs to lending institutions that will best fit your unique situation. In short, they go after money for your business. They translate your business into what's important to banks, and they are good at it. Depending upon what the deal is, no matter how complicated or straightforward, it will help maximize your profitability while setting your business up for success. They find the best solution for your situation. And here's the good part. They are easy and fun to deal with. For more detailed information, visit their website at cardinalcap.net. You can also call 225-308-3700 or email them online, info@cardinalcap.net.
And when you call them, tell them you heard about it on Tech Gumbo.
Absolutely.
So, Mr. Davis, let's jump in here with a little Tech Gumbo. Start off with Epic Games and Apple.
Yeah, this was a really big lawsuit that we've been talking about for a little bit in time. It's happened over a period of months or years at this point in time. Basically, it started as a lawsuit between Epic Games, who they had their Fortnite game, and they didn't want the in-store payments to have to go through the App Store or whatever. And so they sued in court saying we should have our in-game purchases not be on the App Store, and they won.
They did, but the judge said, okay, yes, Epic, you win, but you still have to pay $4 million in damages to Apple. So they won, but they lost, but realistically, they're going to win big in the long run.
Oh, yeah. The reason the judge awarded Apple the $4 million is they disagreed with how Epic went about, you know, forcing the hand of this lawsuit. So, you know, maybe Epic could have taken a better path to get here. But in the end, their ability to have their microtransactions happen on their own platform means they get to keep all of that revenue. And I'm sure that they will pay that $4 million very happily, because they're going to make it all back even faster.
The other interesting thing that happened in this court case was the judge said that means that Apple's App Store is no longer a monopoly.
Yes.
So that monopoly status gets set aside, and Apple's very happy with that.
Oh, absolutely. That is another really interesting thing to come out of this. One, you know, the first half is the continuation that other companies will be able to have their own, you know, in-game purchases or in-app purchases happen on their own platforms. So Apple will lose that revenue.
If they're big enough and know how to pull it off.
Right. You have to be above a certain size to be able to do that. This is not just every, you know, mom and pop app will be able to do that. But the flip side of that, as you pointed out earlier, is that Apple is now guaranteed to no, or Apple's now stated to no longer be a monopoly. And so the U.S. government, the antitrust, the divisions of the federal government who are eyeing Apple, you know, with a battle axe, all of a sudden they have to now go after just Google instead, or just Facebook instead, because Apple can say, hey, look, you know, all these people who are on our store are choosing to be here. And if they wanted to, they could do their own thing. They don't have to use our service.
This is one judge who has said that. If there's another judge who disagrees and rules on a different way, that's when it gets to the appellate court and ultimately all the way up to the Supreme Court at some point. But this being the first bullet fired in the war, if you will, both sides won.
I agree.
We will continue to keep our eye on this because this is going to have big, big meanings way down the road.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely, the implications of this will shape, you know, Apple and a lot of other of the tech giants in the, you know, months and years to come.
So the next story we wanted to talk about is Microsoft. Microsoft has allowed you to go completely without passwords when you're logging into your Microsoft account.
This is something which, you know, they've been talking about for a little while that they're trying to introduce this. And this is, I like the idea of this. Basically, if you already are familiar with the concept of two-factor authentication, you know, whenever you log in, normally you put in your password and then you can have it set up to also, you know, either do the thumb reader on your device, or maybe you send the notification to your cell phone, or if you're on a Surface device, it looks at your face and does the face ID. Well, the idea here is that you're only going to be using the biometric data and that you won't need to input the password first. It'll just rely primarily on that scanner to verify that it is you.
So the way this works, if you would download the Microsoft Authenticator app, and then you would go to your Microsoft account and go to log in. If you set it up to not use passwords, you click on authenticate me or allow me in or, you know, whatever. Then it sends a message to your cell phone, to your authenticator app, to approve or deny authentication into the app. It's not even that if you wanted to go another step and have the two-factor authentication, then you could have it require you on a different part of the authenticator app, find the six-digit code, but that's the two-factor or multi-factor step. If all you're wanting to do is just authenticate, you can have that code come to your app and you tap approve on your screen and now you're in. You've never had to put in a password because passwords are so easily manipulated. Once somebody has it, steals it, guesses it, then they've got you. Whereas with an authenticator app, it's harder to duplicate the authenticator app or to defeat the authenticator app because it's harder to recreate it to your specific phone.
Right. So the way that a lot of authenticators work is that also that biometric data is stored locally. It's not like a password wherever, you know, whatever system you're logging into stores a copy of your password on their servers. You know, my laptop knows what my face looks like, but my laptop doesn't send a copy of that up to the Microsoft cloud. So it's not like there's some giant treasure trove of people's, you know, faces or fingerprints to go digging into through the Microsoft servers. Because it's all distributed, you don't have that centralization. And so in that way, you gain the benefit of security.
So this is part of Microsoft's stated plan. They want by the year 2025 to be done with passwords. And this is the first big, bold step in eliminating their passwords.
Moving on to some more interesting news here. Things people have become very familiar with, Zoom calls. The 1 in 4 bosses who were surveyed said they had to fire someone because of antics or shenanigans that happened on a Zoom call.
So most everybody's probably heard by now the Jeffrey Toobin, what he was doing on a Zoom call with a whole lot of people. And that got him removed from his job. But a lot of these bosses, they're seeing their employees do things and they're either removing them from responsibility, formally reprimanding them, or just outright firing people. I mean, don't be stupid when there's witnesses.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is that now all of a sudden there's witnesses. It's a whole lot more obvious. The camera's pointed at you at all times. 1 in 3 bosses said they had to remove someone from a project, and 1 in 4 said they had to fire someone outright. That is just wild.
Just turn your camera off if you really feel like you have to be that stupid, or if you can't wait a few minutes to do whatever it is you feel like you need to do. Just turn your camera off, please.
And it's also, yeah, I think a lot of people just need to get back into the office, that like it's a whole lot harder to be this level of stupid whenever you know you're sitting next to all the other people. But it's like, oh, well, I'm in my house. You know, they're over there somewhere else. And
I mean, I guess people just, they forget that their camera is turned on. You know, your picture shows up on the screen. You can see what they see.
Yeah, my guess is if you're being this level of stupid, you're not thinking all the way through anyway. And so. Yeah.
I guess so. Try not to be stupid, people. Try not to do stupid things on Zoom or Teams or any other virtual meeting platform. I mean, yeah, we're picking on Zoom here, but I'm sure it happens on all the other platforms.
Oh, yeah. The to Zoom call at this point in time is becoming very much like to Google something. Perfect. And it's much more about like the action than the actual platform.
Right. The boys and girls at Apple had a big week. They announced their iPhone 13 and new smartwatches, and everybody went, eh?
Yep. Much like we talked about last week, that a lot of smartphones are kind of stalling out in their developments, our conversation was predictory, and they made the camera better. The camera is now, it takes better pictures, and there's more cameras, and that's it. Go get an iPhone 13.
It does better video now. It's a little more cinematic in that you can take better movies. And if that's what you're really all about, are you really going to go buy an iPhone 13? Or are you going to buy a camera that actually takes video to make your movies?
Well, I mean, if you're dropping the $1,000, might as well get the iPhone. But, you know, you're not a cinema company at that point in time. You're probably a small indie developer. But at that point in time, Apple's market is shrinking, if that's who they're really targeting here. And they said that the Pro model is going to start at just shy of $1,000. So, I don't know. Like we said last week, this just isn't doing it for me. You know, I'll probably upgrade it at some point within the next 6 months or so, but I'm not jumping to the top of the line. I'll, you know, jump two or three versions forward.
The fact that iPhone is, they think that these phones are now compatible or comparable to Canon's best, you know, point and shoot cameras, and that you're going to want an iPhone instead of that, you know, high-end Canon PowerShot or that Nikon. I just don't get that.
I'm skeptical of that as a general claim. I think the things which make those cameras better are the large lenses. And at some point in time, you just need, you can't digitally fix all that stuff. Otherwise, those other cameras would have done that already. I'm sure that the iPhone does take really cool, really nice, really great pictures and videos. But if you're a photographer, you're probably still going to have that classic lens. You're probably still going to have that classic device, because they still do those things better.
I've yet to see that sideline reporter with an iPhone up videoing or taking, you know, photos of that athlete going in for a touchdown. They didn't pull out and say, hey, stop, let's take a selfie with, you know, they've got those big zoom lens cameras and those big cameras that are made for that kind of digital quality stuff.
Because you're bound by physics that you just need a certain amount of light. You need to manipulate that amount of light, and that takes space. You can't just purely digitally fix all that. You need a certain amount of physical space to do this manipulation.
Oh, and by the way, your phone is doing a whole lot of other things as well, including being a phone and being a computer and running all these apps. So there's only so much that a phone can actually do. I don't know. That's where Apple is hanging their hat on the fact that they've revamped their phone. That's why you would want to go from the 12 to the 13.
But this isn't the first time that, like, the camera has been the selling point. that this is the thing, that the camera is now better. We added another lens on the other side, and those sorts of things. You know, I think that as we talked about last time, the Samsung foldables, those are kind of cool. You know, you're finally doing something different with the foldables. I still don't think they're there yet, but at least I'm like, okay, I haven't seen that before. You're actually changing how this functions and not just making it 1% better.
You know, if you're telling me, okay, we went from the A14 processor to the A15, or we added an extra 2 hours of battery life to the new phones. Okay. And by going to that A15 from the A14, it's 1.6 times faster processor. So, okay, I get it. Your 5G phone is going to help process data that much faster. Okay. But they're not telling you any of that. They're so excited because you can now do movies better with your iPhone 13.
Yeah, and most of my friends, the pictures they take are fine pictures. They're nice pictures. They're good pictures. But they're not like, oh, this is how I'm going to, you know, pay my bills as a photographer. It's like, oh, let's get a picture of us to post to Instagram later. And, you know, Instagram pictures aren't that big to begin with. You're viewing them on the phone screen, not on a giant projector. And so, yeah. I don't know. I'm just not buying it.
I'm not either. I have my iPhone. It works. I'm not excited about it, but I'm also not excited enough to throw it away either. I'm just going to ride it out for as long as I can, and then we'll think about doing something over the next year or two. I mean, at some point, I'm going to need to upgrade just to go to 5G. Give me something. Give me something more than, hey, we got a great camera.
I agree. Moving on to the final set of stories here. There was a self-driving bus that was going around Tokyo, one of those cool little, you know, people carriers, and it hit someone at the Paralympics.
And this was a visually impaired athlete that it hit, which was making it even worse. And this was in the Olympic Village. So this wasn't like it was out on the streets of Tokyo or something. This was in the village, and this person failed to stop because they didn't realize they were in the shuttle's path, and the shuttle didn't stop either. And it knocked the person down, gave him some bruises, didn't kill him or anything like that, nothing violent. But nonetheless, the vehicle only was moving along at like 3 or 4 miles an hour to begin with, and didn't stop for somebody out in front of it.
Well, the vehicle saw him, and the vehicle was slowing, but the safety driver thought that the visually impaired athlete would come to a stop and press the button to cross the crosswalk. Whenever he kept going. So this is more that the safety driver made a human decision and was wrong. You know, ultimately, we're still limited by the fact that we're only as good as our people using these tools. We're still not perfect yet.
Yeah. And then Tesla is actually being investigated by NHTSA for 11 crashes dealing with the autopilot.
Yeah, we've talked about the autopilot. We've talked about the limitations and shortcomings of the autopilot. And there are some crashes that NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, is looking through to figure out, you know, what actually happened on all these crashes. The autopilot was engaged, or the traffic aware cruise control in some cases. But they're trying to figure out what specifically was the thing. Is this Tesla's fault? Is this something that maybe it's not Tesla's fault, but can be improved going forward? And so, you know, we're trying to really iron out all the bugs, iron out all the kinks ahead of time, because it's really important that we get this right.
Yes, and part of it is Tesla's fault for saying this is a completely self-driving vehicle, but it's not. And then it's the driver's fault for giving up control of the vehicle that still requires you to be control of the vehicle.
Yeah, it's complicated, and it's going to require a full investigation of a bunch of different incidents to pull it all the way apart. But, you know, as they develop more, as they speak more about it, then we here at Tech Gumbo will bring you what their judgments are.
And we do want to thank General Informatics as well. General Informatics is an information technology firm with a mission to make our clients even more successful through the best use of technology. From the beginning, we have maintained our commitment to meeting the growing needs of our clients through continuous innovation. With over 20 years of experience and a team of 70 plus engineers, programmers, and designers, GI has evolved to become the leading IT partner of businesses, schools, and government agencies. Our managed services team can run your digital infrastructure or support your team on an on-demand basis, letting you focus on your business strengths. This has become a proven formula, so proven that 98% of our clients continue to do business with us year after year. Whether you need IT services, new technology, or just have a question, visit us on the web at geninf.com.
If you enjoyed our show today, we are here on Talk 107.3 FM every Saturday at 4 p.m., and the show reruns Sundays also at 4 p.m. If you missed any part of the show or you'd like to hear previous episodes, check out our podcast available on almost every platform, including iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, Google Music, and more. When you're there, be sure to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode is posted. If you like our show or you have some suggestions, let us know. Text us at 225-255-0431. And if you send us a question and we use it, you will get a Tech Gumbo mug. So there's your incentive. Thank you for listening to Tech Gumbo.